John and Carol are spending time with their son, John Francis. They haven't left yet, I don't believe, but they will be leaving in another day or so. And John Francis is going to be performing for audiences in Ireland this time. So we keep them in our prayers. We keep Isabel in our prayers. She is a part of us, a part of this family. So keep her in your prayers this week and them in your prayers. In the meantime, you get me for a preacher. Oh my goodness. I'm looking at this passage, and I've been asking God, what is your timely word for us here today to our St. Francis congregation, of which I am a member? And that has been my prayer this week, last week. And I'm looking at Luke. Luke tells us an expert in the law of Moses is trying to test Jesus and asks him to interpret the whole of the hundreds of laws in the Old Testament and come up with an answer. That's his question to Jesus. And he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And like any good teacher would, Jesus adeptly throws it right back to him. How do you read it? I had a lot of experience just this past year with a lot of teachers, professors, throwing back those questions to us as students at seminary. They are not wanting to be the answer people. They want us to delve back into the Word. So let's delve. Let's see. Let's let the Holy Spirit help us here. The expert says, love the Lord your God with all of your being. That's what I heard. And your neighbor as yourself. Jesus commends him, saying, right. Do this, and you will live. Jesus knows this man, knows the law inside and out, because he studied with the rabbis in school for most of his childhood and teenagehood. It is, in fact, simple. Yet this man wants to make the law difficult. He continues to test Jesus about the meaning of the greatest commands. But who is my neighbor? Jesus could have expounded about the law, but instead he tells a simple story of the Good Samaritan. This story is familiar to most of us, many children too. I'll bet many of you can tell it by heart. Raise your hand. Children learn to recite the two great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They sing it in songs. They learn it in sign language. They learn it in vacation Bible school. Jesus responds to this young scribe who has trained diligently in knowing every one of the laws and their many fine points. Yet putting God's greatest commandments into practice is something history has shown we humans have not figured out yet. I certainly cannot do it on my own steam. And if you're in church, then you're also admitting, if not more so, how impossible it is to live out these two seemingly simple commands. I can't do it. Jesus knows us, and he knows this. And yet he tells the young man to do it and you will live. I submit that he fully knows how difficult we can make it, and yet how simple, freeing, and life-giving it is to yield oneself to God and do those commands. In the Samaritan story, I think Jesus has given us a road map so that we will live here. In the story of the Samaritan, there's so much meaningful description. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This stretch of the road drops drastically, 3,300 feet in elevation. I didn't know that. From Jerusalem to Jericho in a span of 18 miles. Pretty short. The audience supposes that the man was a Jew because Jesus is speaking to Jewish people gathering here in front of him and his 70 disciples who just returned from being sent out. This Jewish man was robbed and beaten by thieves while going down from the holy center of the Jewish faith in Jerusalem to the lowest city physically in the world even today. I think it's 840 feet below sea level, according to my partner here.
Google says.
I'm not a mathematician. Going down indeed. Then a priest goes down the road, sees the beaten man, and crosses the other side of the street. A Levite, another upholder of the Jewish faith, who had official religious duties, is also going down the road. And he crosses the street after seeing the accosted man. Jesus uses the description, depending on what version you want to read, it can be in the present tense or the past, it doesn't really matter. It says the same thing. He went down the road three times. That's how Jesus tells it, to emphasize the importance of it. When you see repetition, mark it. You know there's something important about it. Why? Is it all geography? Well, clearly it's that. That's one. Is it that it was a notorious road for robbers and violence? Yeah, we're told that in the footnotes. But I find that the phrase just bubbled up to me after I prayed, asking the Holy Spirit to guide me to what God wants to say to us today. An everyday human being is on his way from the holy city to Jericho. An everyday human being. And is badly beset by thieves who beat him senseless and steal his only way to care for himself and his loved ones, or to do business. When the first person to help him sees his state, which we know he does because Jesus tells us he sees him, he knows it means he will be unclean if he even touches him. That has consequences for his religious priestly duties. How does he respond? He chooses, instead of helping or staying with the man until another can help, to avoid him, cross the street, and move on. Someone else can help. That someone else is a Levite, another holy person today. I would liken him to someone who has religious training to assist priests. And again, he sees the hurt man, he sees him, and crosses to the other side of the street. The first man, who is the beaten one, who went down the road is going down the road of life. And perhaps he's going down in the sense of being down and out now. He's close to death. The priest goes down the road of life and is surprised by the sight of a man in need of someone's help. God offers him an opportunity to practice what he preaches in two of the greatest commandments. But he does not choose to love God and neighbor. The Levite, who also knows these laws by heart, all the law, because he has a vocation in religious life, also chooses to avoid loving God and neighbor. Finally, a third man, traveling near, sees him, and moved with compassion, Jesus says, helps him in the way he would want to be helped. Jesus doesn't use the phrase going down the road with him. He does use a description that he's a Samaritan, one hated by Jews for the violent history between them. Yet Jesus considers him a true pilgrim, one who's not going down, but is on a faith journey, because he shows mercy generously to his enemy, the way to love God and neighbor. Jesus sees these two greatest commandments that are inexorably linked. That's how he sees these two. You can't love God if you're not going to love your neighbor. And real love is something God trains us in as we are connected to God. I think about it as a practicum, if you will, a lifelong way, a road following Jesus. We learn by doing. That means we learn by making mistakes, by repeating the lessons with ones who are as difficult as well as easy, and by following the example of others who are good at it. We can't do it without Jesus' grace in our lives. And we must abide in him in order to see we need him. As a branch depends upon the vine to feed it, so we must lean on him as we go on the road to meet our neighbor. We can know that's real love when we compare it to where we meet Jesus, where we meet him. Not in the highest form of religious knowledge, like those who can quote the Bible at every turn. I have to say, that's what I thought anyway. Quoting the Bible, knowing the Bible that well, but actually in the doing of it. Richard Rohr, theologian, says, when we practice compassion, we expand our souls. The elders at Symphony practice this compassion. They practice it in listening to one another and in speaking up when another has very little voice or very little power to change things. Or sharing a special dessert that came from Symphony here in a potluck, and they brought it back so that they could share it with someone else and enjoy, and that person could enjoy it too. Or visiting someone who's lonely, or inviting others to join your group. Though it's wonderful to know all about religious stuff, if it doesn't move us to love others, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, then it's nothing. In fact, in the Good Samaritan story, we're brought by Jesus to love those who we consider to be strangers, the other, someone far away as a Samaritan to a Jew, an enemy. And through this illustration of who is my neighbor. But Lord, I say they did this and seem to denigrate your word. Jesus shows us in his life and in the story of the Good Samaritan, a sworn enemy of the Jewish people with hundreds of years of violence and enmity since the times of Babylonia taking over Israel. that we're to reach out and show mercy in actions toward those who are even farthest away from where you or I draw our boundaries. We don't have enemies. Sometimes we say that. I don't have any enemies. Well then, use your imagination and ask the Spirit to put a finger on who was your neighbor, the one who would be impossible to show mercy to. Where do we put up barriers? Who do we fear? How do we make it hard on ourselves and others to love God? My voice catches because sometimes I feel the Spirit saying that to me. Who is my other? Ask God to not only show us who that is, but to yield to Jesus and allow the Spirit to expand our heart of compassion in that situation where you're feeling like, I can't do this. I can't love this person. They're too difficult. Accept the opportunities to meet Jesus there. Meet him there. And you'll find the fruit of deep life, a vitality that no illness or age or other barrier can destroy, because it's life-giving to the soul. Amen.